Do you ever wonder why you desire or want something in your life and yet you're unable to have those outcomes? Do you notice if you continually go into negative thinking or you even talk negatively about your life? Do you ask yourself, like, why can't I have this? Why can't I do that? And why, what's wrong with me? Why can't I date? Why can't I lose weight? Why can't I get this job? If you find yourself caught or stuck in this particular mindset or pattern, then this episode with my guest, Jen Beck, is a must listen. She gave so much information, so much wisdom, and she's a coach. She helps people with mindset, with nutrition, and she just really does help women to create the life that they want and desire. And she talks about, or we talk about in this episode, how to actually reprogram the subconscious mind so that you can align your energy with the thoughts that you have in your mind so that you actually have the opportunity to create the life that you want. So I encourage you to tune in to this week's episode. Welcome to the Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists podcast. I am Kim Gross, your host, and it is my mission to help you unmask from people pleasing and perfectionistic behaviors so that you can finally have the confidence to live the life that you truly desire. Let's tune in to this week's episode. Today, I have Jen Beck with me, and we are going to talk about perfectionism today for sure. But before we jump into the conversation, I'll begin with the quote, which was offered from Jen herself. And the quote is, "To create lasting change and a life you love, you must address and heal what is under the under." I love that quote so much, and we're going to come back to that in just a little bit, but let's start with you. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you. Super excited to be here, Kim.
I'm excited too. So let's start with just having you introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So I'm Jen Beck, the owner and founder of Complete Health Revolution. And I grew up in the Midwest. I live in Cincinnati, Ohio now. And I, for the last 23 years now, have been really on a mission to help women to create a life they love, to reclaim their health, to recharge their lives, and really empower them to step into the power position of their own life. And not where I started, mind you. I started 26 years ago when I had a wake-up call, and sometimes our best journeys really start like that. For me, my mom had multiple sclerosis from the time I was very young, and at the age of 49, went from living on her own to being in a nursing home in about 6 weeks. She was on all the preventative medications to make sure that didn't happen, and yet here we were. So in all of my sugar-addicted, caffeine-driven, fast-food lifestyle, I decided I was going to be the one that was going to help. Just think about it now.
How old were you when this happened?
I was 26.
26. Okay.
And my genius, I'm like, okay, the doctors failed her. Medications failed her. Something has to help her. So I took it on myself to be able to go and figure out what that was. And so I started looking at alternative medicine, which back then was really weird. Multivitamins back in the late 90s were weird. And so I ended up at a conference that was being taught by a pharmacist, and he was teaching about the healing benefits of superfoods, which, ironic. During his talk, he was talking about his wife who had MS for 26 years, just like my mom. After his talk, I literally see the two of them waltzing across the ballroom. She's virtually untouched. My mom had been walking with a cane since I was probably 7 or 8. And I got a chance to meet this woman. I'm like, what drugs are you on? Because your results are so much better than my mom's. She needs to be on whatever you're on. And she goes, oh, I'm not on any medications. My husband didn't believe in them. Your husband, the pharmacist, didn't believe in the drugs?
That's wild.
And I'm like, what do you mean? And she goes, the population studies were too short and too small, and the side effects basically outweighed the benefits. So I just built my body up with diet, supplements, and exercise. So this woman's lifestyle was pretty much the opposite of my mom's. And it got me thinking, it got me curious, like, what if my mom had done what Dr. Susser's wife had done? Would her results have been different? So I dove into research, and the more I researched, the more I saw people reversing MS and heart disease and cancer and diabetes and fibromyalgia and Alzheimer's and literally like everything that I thought was a life sentence. Once you get that diagnosis, people were reversing by changing their diet and lifestyle. So that's what prompted me to go back to school for nutrition. I went back and became a registered nutrition consultant. And so I spent the first probably 12 to 15 years of my career in nutrition, specifically helping people with changing their lifestyle, adding in supplements, personalizing their food for what their body needed. And along the way, I've always incorporated mindset and mindfulness. And then probably about 7 or 8 years ago, I was introduced to emotional healing. And that's really where the under comes in.
Yeah.
Because it was why we do what we do at an unconscious level, right? Our defaults, if we don't address those, we can't really create lasting change because we're always trying to do the thing versus be the person. So helping people create a new identity.
Okay, wait, hold on. Let's pause there for a second, because that's important what you just said. That is so profound. If you can one, say it again and then explain more what you mean rather than do the thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's, instead of doing the thing, it's about being the person. So if you look at the way most people make, so let's just, most women have been on a diet before. So let's just use weight loss as an example.
Okay.
Okay. So I want to lose weight. Let's say I want to lose 30 pounds. What do most people think about when they think about losing weight? Restriction, cutting calories.
Yeah.
You got to eat less than you work out. So working out, maybe cutting sugar, no more carbs, no more soda, no more caffeine, no more wine, no more desserts, right? Now you can use willpower and choice and focus action and do the things to create the result.
Okay.
Right? So if you're doing the things, you can absolutely make that weight loss happen, that 30 pounds weight loss happen the first time. The fifth time you got to do it, maybe not as much. We talk ourselves out of it, beat ourselves up, all or nothing it, and then we quit, right? Not that any of us are perfectionists by any means.
Just saying.
Right? So we can do the thing and get the result. But what happens when we get the result? Maybe not the same day, but over the course of the next week, 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 months, we all of a sudden go, "Whew, thank God I made it. Now I can go back and have that chocolate cake and a little bit of wine. Now I can go back and have the wings or the burger and fries or the cookie that just once in a while, it's just a couple bites. That becomes a daily thing and it becomes the package again. And we're back into sugar addiction. So we go back to our default, which is what created the problem in the first place.
Yep.
So if we're not doing the thing, our default is who we're being. It's made up of our thoughts, our feelings, our beliefs, which drive our default actions. So the only way to create a different result is to do the things. But if we stop doing the things, we go, "Whoa," it's like shoots and ladders, right? Woo,
yeah, right back all the down way down.
And it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen immediately. But the slow path to self-sabotage kicks back in. The I deserve it. It's a reward. It's a treat. It's a special event. It's
the holidays.
A stressful day. It's a holiday. It's vacation. It's all of the things that take our eye off the prize of doing the things to create the result. But it's exhausting to override our default behaviors all the time.
Very exhausting.
So how do we change our default? That's the question. Because our default is actually what drives our actions at an unconscious level.
Okay.
It's our experiences, our influences, our programming and conditioning which create our default, which is our thoughts.
I say that again. It's our conditioning, our experiences, and what else?
Your
influences
and programming,
that cause the default.
Yep. So it's what creates our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs.
Okay.
And our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs drive our actions at a default level.
Okay.
It's every time I came home from school and I had a bad day at school, mom would give me a cookie. Every day I came home from school and I had a good day at school, mom would give me a cookie. So now emotions equal cookies.
Absolutely.
So our default behavior is I had a bad day, I get a cookie. I had a good day, I get a cookie. So it's our default actions are created by our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs, which is created by our experiences, our influences, our programming conditions.
Love it. Okay.
Okay. So if we want to create lasting change at a default, we've got to address our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs and heal what's under the under, which is our experiences, our influences, our programming and conditioning.
When you say heal, okay, can you say more about that? So what? Yeah. How do we heal that?
Identifying it as part of it, because I use an acronym with my clients called ACT, and it's awareness, concern, take action.
Not to interrupt, but there's the ACT, ACT.
Oh!
It's your acronym.
Oh, funny. I teach it every day, but I can't even, I'm just stream of consciousness. This is what we do. Oh, funny.
Okay, one more time. Your acronym is ACT. What does it mean?
So it's ACT, right? How do we create default? We need awareness, concern, take action.
Okay.
So again, it addresses the root cause. If you don't know why you're carrying weight, right? So for weight management, there weight loss resistance, there are 12 reasons physically why we carry extra weight. Mm. There are 8 emotional reasons why we carry extra weight. So there's 20 reasons of why somebody has extra weight on their body. Most people think the weight is the issue. It's not, it's a symptom. Mm. So if we don't understand what the root cause is, how do you know what to do to fix it? Right? So you can play whack-a-mole with symptoms. You can try this diet or that diet or this medication or this pill or this supplement or this whatever. Right. But if you don't know why it's there, how do you fix it? Mm. So the first piece of it is awareness. So when I'm working with somebody, let's say a big piece of it is personalizing their nutrition. So they're eating foods that are right for their body, not some plan, some guru, some book, some whatever. Right. But the key is the awareness piece. They need to be able to learn how to listen to their body and go, oh, after I eat this food, I feel like I need a nap. After I feel like this, I eat this food, I feel like I've got a ton of energy and it's lasting energy. Or I eat this food and I've got gas, right? This food, it's supposed to be a healthy food, but I feel bloated. We've got to identify what the real thing is. So once you have the awareness of what works and what doesn't, then you can be concerned enough. And now we're not always concerned enough to take action. Mm. But when you are concerned enough, that's when you choose to do something different. See, that ACT acronym actually puts us in the driver's seat versus giving our power away to some plan, program, guru, whoever tells us what we should or shouldn't be doing.
Exactly.
And so the awareness piece is the catalyst, because if we're just going through life on autopilot, how do you change anything?
Exactly. Right?
We look at the problem, we go, I don't want to feel like this anymore, but we don't know where it started.
100%.
So how do you get here to here?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, because that's exactly what I teach with the people pleasing and perfectionist mask. Those are patterns, but what is the underneath of why you are pleasing, perfecting, and performing in the first place?
Yeah.
And so we were talking before we were recording that you actually even have a story of your own where you felt at one time that you were like crippled by perfectionism. Do you want to share like your story of perfectionism with us?
Yeah, because it's so exciting. I'm kidding. It is though. I had such a facade. Like growing up, I had to do all the right things, right? Because that was how I got love, was by performing and getting good grades. And we have these moments in time where they feel like a snapshot. But for me, at least, I experience it, a lot of my clients experience, we have this recurring memory of this thing that pops up from time to time.
100%.
It's innocent. It's a memory. It's not a big deal. It was a moment in time. Yet the impact of that is significant.
Yes.
So for me, my perfectionism, I had to do all of the right things. So I was bullied through most of middle school. I was too tall, braces, bad hair, and glasses. And I was a late bloomer. So the board came with this shirt. It was all the things. And so I had this balance of being wanting to be visible, but fearful of being too visible. I really had to walk that line of perfectionism and do all the right things all the right time and look the right way and say the right thing and do the right thing, because otherwise, who knows where the attack would come from or the abandonment would come from or whatever, right? And I got to a place where I was doing all the right things, but I was so lonely, miserable, and yet the facade was I had all my stuff together. Everybody else, I was at a networking thing and I was doing my little introduction spiel and this gal goes, gosh, you're just too perfect. And I'm like, how is that an issue? And if you only knew what I was feeling inside.
Yes.
Is that the social anxiety was insane. So I got to a place where I could be on a stage, but I couldn't walk up to two people in the middle of a conversation in a networking mixer. Like it was like, and it really limited my relationships. It limited my ability to find peace, to sit still at any point in time. And I just was trying to be all the things for all the people and I was exhausted. And then the resentment started in. So yeah, perfectionism is not great.
I know. And I want to just back up and highlight what you just said about it is that at the end of the day, the reason that we start to wear that mask of perfectionism is for protection. At some point, we felt we had to protect ourselves because that one or two moments in time that something happened and then we attached a meaning to that event. Oh no, this thing can't happen because it made me feel whatever. And sometimes they can be super innocent. I remember I was 10 years old and I tried out for the lead role in Snow White and I couldn't carry a tune to save my life. But I was 10. I was used to performing in my family room. I was just rocking out with my microphone. As far as I was concerned, I could be Snow White. But to really then try out and sing for an audience, and my teacher was like, no, you can't. But the thing was, I interpreted that as if there was something wrong with me, that I didn't get the lead. And because I didn't have my mom or a caregiver to help me internalize that and to say, sweetie, I know you're disappointed or you're sad, you're upset you didn't get Snow White, but that doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you're not good enough. It doesn't mean that there is something wrong with you. It just, you weren't meant to be Snow White. Maybe you could be something else. But that experience led through most of my life and it kept me playing small. So to your point exactly, that how we have to be able to go to what is under the under. So if I'm trying to, I actually just said, I wrote this in my newsletter because it is true that I have a dream, goal, and want, desire, whatever you want to call it, to have Mel Robbins on my podcast. And I would say it for the longest time. I'm going to have her on. I listen to her podcast all the time. We speak about a lot of similar topics. I can have a conversation with her. I would say it, but my energy didn't match it for the longest time. Because at the end of the day, that little girl who did not get picked for Snow White was still feeling like, who am I? The imposter. Who am I to think that Mel Robbins would come on my podcast? So if I have that energy underneath, running that current underneath, she'll never be on my podcast. And it wasn't until I was like, started to become aware of that and really started to hone in on and heal even more. Heal. You must address and heal what is under the under. Mm-hmm. That I was like, and then I started to lean into the energy, the essence of who I am, the energy, that divine energy is the same energy that's in the ocean, the same energy that makes the trees, the flowers, the grass. It's the same energy that's in Mel Robbins is in me. And it's like, now it's like, oh yeah, sure. I might be have some nervous jitters if she came on, but absolutely. Could I hold a conversation with Mel Robbins? Because she's just a person. And so am I just a person. She happens to have 2.5 million subscribers on YouTube. But at the end of the day, I could hold my own with her and have a fantastic conversation. So it's really true what you're trying to say about the, first of all, is to become aware of any of those old programs, the perfectionism, whatever it is, whatever's keeping the weight on people, whatever's keeping us from not showing up in the world, and then being able to heal and address that. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, and yes. We are so in alignment. And the thing to remember too is Mel Robbins started out with zero subscribers too.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? We have such a pedestal of where other people are. And I know that for me, living through all the bullying and very much not having somebody there to support me as I went through that, it was like I was invisible at home and I was too visible at school and nowhere safe.
Yes.
Right. So yes. I wholeheartedly hear that and understand where you're coming from with that. And it is, it's really about the underlying stories that we create, the beliefs that we have. And I remember when affirmations were first really a big thing, right? I think back to Saturday Night Live with Stuart Smalley. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me. But if we don't have the energy underneath it, it's still a lie in our brain.
It is.
You can say it 100,000 times with as much emphasis as you want. And even if you get it in your conscious brain, where you can access it and it feels true, we still have the negative beliefs that are in our unconscious. And that is what runs the show, because that's our default. So you get into a stressful situation, where does our brain go? It's not our executive functioning where we know what we know in our brain. It goes back to our default, back to our protection, back to our safety. And that's what needs to heal so that we can be able to fully express, manifest, create, live our life at our highest good.
Yes, that is so true. And I think that is what's really started to shift, is that the subconscious mind is being reprogrammed. So now the new programs, the new wiring is believing that I am worthy and capable of having Mel Robbins on my podcast, because now I've been doing this podcast for over 3.5 years. I've had 80 some guests on, and every time I do an episode, I get better and better. So I know how to have a conversation. I know how to be in the driver's seat and flow with interviewing and so on and so forth. And that now is new information for my subconscious mind, because it's like, oh, see how many times you've done it before? You're rewiring this. So now, if we were to fast forward, Mel Robbins is on my podcast. We're getting ready to queue up to start. And I start to get that nervousness, like you said, and my brain wants to go back to default. Oh, wait a second. No, remember when I did all of these podcasts? I've had 80 some guests on, and you were doing all the things. And then I can get back online and okay, here we go, Mel, let's have a conversation.
Yes. And it's amazing because when we use curiosity, our brain gives us amazing questions if we ask the right ones. But if you go, gosh, why am I such a failure? I can't believe Mel Robbins on my show. I'm such an, I can't, I like all of the negative, right?
Yeah.
What makes you think that you could do this? Versus what makes you think that you could do this? What evidence do you have that you're a great podcaster?
Yes.
What's possible, right? If we ask really good questions, our brain gives us really good answers. Like, why are you such a great podcaster, Kim? If you ask that to yourself, your brain's going to answer it because it can't not answer a question.
Yes.
Just got to ask better questions.
Oh, that is so good. That is so good. And then for me, what you're saying or what we're talking about then lines up with what the Joe Dispenzas of the world talk about. Because then when you're starting to ask those kinds of questions and you're getting online with your brain, or your brain's getting online, whichever way you want to talk about it, now you're in a different energy versus the energy that you described when a person will say, "What? Oh, I'm terrible. Why me? Why me?" For example, my daughter is 21, and I know she's, when she says this, she's just in a moment or she's being dramatic. But when something happens in her life that is the opposite of what she would like to be happening, she'll say, "I hate my life. Oh, I hate my life." And I have shared with her from time to time about putting that energy out there. And does she, sometimes she hears it, sometimes not. She gets what I'm saying, but that's just an example of the kind of talk and thinking that we can have that can really take us down the wrong direction and not give us the life that we want and desire, which is what you said in the very beginning of the episode when I said, introduce yourself. And you said, what I help women to do is create a life that they desire. And so part of that is using your act and lift on therapy. So do you want to tell us a little bit about what that is? Because now you have just been promoted as well.
I have, yes. I've actually just been named the co-director of Lift on Therapy.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it has been for me one of the most transformative things I've ever done, body, mind, and soul. So I was in the middle of a really toxic marriage and had put myself on a shelf because all I did was people please to try and keep the peace. My daughter was just over 3, and what I now know, I had a narcissistic ex-husband. At the time, I had no idea what that word even meant or any of the characteristics or anything else because I had just been trying to make someone who was loving and caring in the beginning, who had flipped a switch and I couldn't figure out why or how to switch it back. So for our entire marriage, I was trying to figure out how I could make the switch flip back to the loving, caring, amazing boyfriend that I had up until we got married. And it was like, I don't understand what happened. What did I do? What can I do? So nothing like crazy making, but I was really in a place where I just had lost myself. Grey's Anatomy and a glass of wine was my best friend in the evening after I put my daughter to bed. And I was miserable. I was depressed and anxious and walking on eggshells. And I happened to meet Brian Eastman, who's the co-creator of, or the creator of Lift on Therapy, at a networking thing, and he's, hey, would you like a free session? I was like, and he didn't know anything about where I was at or anything. He just offered. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll check it out. And within the first probably 4 sessions, I was like, I need to learn how to do this because it had that much, that significant of an impact on me. What Lift on Therapy does is it literally identifies what belief needs to be healed. And it's a set of statements. This is my book.
Wow.
On every page, there is like 15 sets of statements. And the goal is to identify which statement needs to be healed. So there's a positive statement, which is the one we want to install, and the negative statements, which we want to remove. So affirmations are conscious, awesome when they're installed. But if we still have the negative beliefs, our brain goes here, not here.
Yes.
So Lyft actually removes the negative beliefs and installs the positive ones as if it was a part of your unconscious mind forever. So the easiest way to explain it, our unconscious mind is like our computer that runs all the time in the background. If there is a bad line of code in that computer program, it doesn't work right. It's not that it doesn't work at all, it just doesn't work right. So outward facing, that may look like we don't show up fully in our relationships, or we have imposter syndrome, or we're perfectionists or people pleasers or whatever that looks like. And so for an example of statements like, the positive would be, I'm surrounded by people who love me, who enjoy my company, and who want to be with me. And the negative would be, I'm alone, unloved, and unwanted. So can you imagine if that was the negative belief that was running in the background, how you would or wouldn't show up when you're meeting somebody for the first time, when you're dating, when you're in a relationship? Like, we the self-sabotage that comes from just that one statement in a relationship is,
we're not aware of those undercurrent programs running in the background, because it's like the hard drive of a computer. You don't really pay attention or see it. It's just running. And that's how our brains are, just that subconscious mind is just running.
Yeah. So it's looking at what is the underlying beliefs that we need to remove so that we can install the positive one in its place.
Do you do this through hypnosis?
I don't actually. It's very much participant led. So I use muscle testing, which is asking the body yes or no questions, which is where we get to. I have a whole algorithm I focus on to be able to find the right statement that we need to heal for the highest and greatest good.
Can you do it virtually, or does it have to be with
the
muscle
test?
Wow.
Yeah. So what I do is I step in as just a surrogate. Like you said, we're all connected by energy.
Yes.
And for those of you that aren't, well, I get it. Believe me. 7 years ago, I was like, I don't believe in muscle tests. Now I'm like, oh, I wholeheartedly get it. And I use it every day. It is very much just asking the unconscious mind yes or no questions. Like you said, we're all connected by energy. And so I can step in and muscle test on someone's behalf to see what we need to heal. And then they are the ones that do the healing. So it may be that they need to give themselves a hug. So we're aligning the brain in the right posture for the unconscious mind to take in the information. And so they may give themselves a hug. They may tap their head. And while they're saying the statement, either out loud or silent or both, and then it gets installed into the unconscious mind. And we test to make sure the positive is positive and the negative is gone.
Yep.
And at the end of the session, it's amazing the shift that people have. So we measure the intensity of what somebody's feeling at the beginning of a session and at the end. And it's on a scale of 1 to 10, but I will tell you, Kim, in the beginning of COVID, I would have people that were coming in and their anxiety or their stress was at a 200 on a scale of 1 to 10. And by the end of the first session, it would be down to 40, sometimes 10, sometimes 0 in one session.
Wow. That's amazing. I don't know why we haven't, you don't hear about that more. It's not more mainstream. So it's Lyft on therapy. And I'll have this all in the show notes as well, so that people, if they're interested, they can find you. And that is a beautiful and perfect segue into, first of all, thank you for this conversation. It was amazing. Yeah. It was so much fun. So if someone was interested in working with you through coaching, you do coaching as well.
Or to do
Lyft on therapy, where would they find you?
Yeah. So my website is CompleteHealthRevolution.com. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's funny you ask, like, you do coaching too. So my clients will tell you I'm a third nutrition coach, a third life coach, a third emotional healer. And the other 10% is I will find any shortcut or life hack to be able to make the other ones happen faster.
And we all want faster.
Right. So my website, like I said, is CompleteHealthRevolution.com. You can find me all over social at Jen Beck or Complete Health Revolution. And then every week I have a couple of slots for somebody that is really serious about, I'm ready to decide to take the next step. Not I'm curious about taking the next step, but they really are ready to put themselves back in the power position of their lives. They want to understand, what are my root causes? What are the things that are holding me back? And wanting a solution for that.
Yeah.
They can go to talkwithjenbeck.com. And there's a couple times a week where I have a slot open on my calendar where we can do a barrier breakthrough session where we literally look at where are you at now? What are your goals? And what are the things that are holding you back? And we create an action plan to be able to break through those. So for somebody that's really serious about, I'm ready to take that next step, they can go directly there and schedule a time.
Okay. And that I will also put in the show notes as well. I'll make sure I get both of those from you.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Any last parting words, piece of advice for, we talked about a lot of different things today, but I love it.
Yeah, it's been a great conversation. I would say the biggest thing is design your life for you. Because you're the only one that truly cares about your happiness. You have other people that care about you and want you to be happy, but if you don't want it, it's really hard. You can't have somebody else make you happy. So you have to design your life for you and then create the physical and emotional health so you can live it and live it for a long time.
I love that. It makes me feel like, oh, like good inside when you say that. It's awesome. So I really do appreciate you taking the time to come on and have this conversation today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been awesome.
So thank you everybody for tuning in to another episode of Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists. And if you enjoyed this conversation, we talked about so many different things. We had laughs. We were just joking and having a good time. If you enjoyed it, leave us a comment. And if you have any questions, leave us a comment as well, and we can get back to you. Until next time, everybody.